before Joshua when Joshua and the people made that error. Last time I taught, we talked about Achan and his sin, and that the promised land, the people of Israel, God had sort of left them in this time. And then we talked about verse 8:1. Now Jehovah said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land." And that once he dealt with the sin, he could then again commune with God. But I wanted to go back and look. Did Joshua have anything to do with this? Did Joshua fail leading the people in this moment when they got defeated by Ai? Let's look at verse 7:2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. Who did Joshua turn to here? He turned to men. Do you remember what happened when they went to Jericho? We'll talk about that later. And second, so first, he turned to men. Second, he presumed that God would be with him and that he had God's favor. And Joshua said, I'm sorry, this is 7:7-9. And Joshua said, "Alas, Jehovah God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. O Jehovah, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" Joshua, when they went to Ai and he trusted the men, he was presuming that God's favor was still on him. I wanted to look back now at some other instances, examples of God, of people that Joshua would have heard about or known personally, in a couple of instances, where when they were in relationship with God, God spoke to them about situations and gave solutions that the men had no idea about. And we'll start at Exodus 32:7-10. This is a story of Abraham. And, okay. Am I in the right? I'm sorry. Genesis 18:16-21. Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And Jehovah said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of Jehovah to do righteousness and justice, that Jehovah may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." And Jehovah said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So Jehovah had come to Abraham to tell him of the situation of Sodom and Gomorrah. He told him that he was going to destroy the cities because they were wicked. This wasn't something that Abraham knew about. So we'll continue on to Exodus 32, 7, 10. And this is someone that Joshua would have known, and he would have known this story well. And Jehovah said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is our God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' And Jehovah said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation.'" Another situation that Moses was not aware of what was happening while he was on the mountain, only because God told him. And last, Joshua 6, 1 through 5. Joshua himself had an instance like this. "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And Jehovah said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before him." I'm mentioning this because Joshua was a leader of his nation. And when we are in fellowship with God, we will hear from him, and he will make clear our steps. Joshua missed out on that because there was sin in his camp, but he didn't go back to God. I'm not going to presumably that he had sinned, but he had forgotten a step. He had forgotten to go back to God and say, "Okay, now how do we handle this next war?" He presumed that, well, God was with me last time. He took men's thoughts. And I don't think there was anything wrong with these men looking into this situation, but he still forgot to go to God. And we see through these other leaders and Joshua himself that when you're in communication with God, he will give you a way. And we'll see that after Joshua is restored as leader, that's exactly what happens. Okay, so now we're going to look back. We're going to go back into our story of AI and the second battle with AI. And we're starting at 8, 1, and 2. Joshua. Joshua 8, 1 and 2. "Now Jehovah said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I've given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoils and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it.'" Because of Joshua's communication and restoration unto God, the nation can now receive blessings. Did you hear that? Jericho and its king, only its spoils, its cattle, you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. Because of Joshua's faithfulness, the people of the land are able to receive blessings. And we're going to see that God is going to again lead these people. I'm going to read Joshua 8, 3 through 8. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about, when they come out against us at the first, and that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, 'They are fleeing before us at the first. Therefore we will flee before them.' Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city. For Jehovah your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of Jehovah. You shall do. So I have commanded you." Did you hear that? It wasn't Joshua that came up with this plan. It was according to the commandment of Jehovah. Jehovah gave him a new plan, told him how to do this. But not only did he tell him how to do it, the people are victorious because they actually follow through with the plan. I'm going to tell you a little something about myself. When I read through the Torah and through Moses and stuff, a lot of times, I don't know if the Elliots remember this, I would get frustrated. It would say, "God told them to do all these things." And then it would go on and say, "They did all these things." And I'm like, why don't they just say, "God told them to do these things," and they did it? But it's important for us to see that they did exactly, not partially, not some of, not, they did the thing God said. And as we read through it week by week, I'd be like, okay, I get it. But it's important that we continue, we do the things that God says. We can't do it partially, we can't do it a little bit, but we have to follow through. And so we're going to see Joshua 8, 9 through 29. They're actually going to come through, and God's people will be victorious. Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near, and they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now a valley lay between them and Ai. So he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. Now it happened, when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at an appointed place before the plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. Then Jehovah said to Joshua, "Stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand." And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as they had, as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it, and hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on the pursuers. Now, when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. Then the others came out of the city against them. So they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side, and they struck them down, so that they let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness, where they pursued them, and when they all had fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he utterly destroyed it, all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of Jehovah, which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai he hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Joshua followed through with what God had called him to do. I'm actually going to do something that I don't think I've ever done in one of my messages. I'm going to end with the story that's a little bit disappointing, but I hope we use this as a reminder for ourselves of when God says something, we need to follow through. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 26. And we're going to hear another story where God gave the people, he led them, he told them what to do, but the leader didn't follow through. Samuel also said to Saul, "Jehovah sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of Jehovah. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man, woman, infant, and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Canaanites, go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of Jehovah came to Samuel, saying, here again we see another man of God who hears from, from God himself about the problem. I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to Jehovah all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of Jehovah. I have performed the commandment of Jehovah. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to Jehovah your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what Jehovah said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not Jehovah anoint you king over Israel? Now Jehovah sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of Jehovah? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of Jehovah? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of Jehovah and gone on the mission on which Jehovah sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to Jehovah your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, Has Jehovah as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Jehovah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is in iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Jehovah, he also has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of Jehovah and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me, that I may worship Jehovah. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of Jehovah, and Jehovah has rejected you from being king over Israel. I know that we've looked at leaders and kings, but remember, God has called you to be leaders, all of us, in some way or another. And the choices we make do affect those that we lead. We can cause them to have blessings, or we can cause them to have curses. And next time I teach, that's exactly what we'll be talking about. Thank you.